What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Before you listen to your episode, Bucky, tell them what we've got coming up on the latest Move the Sticks episode.
We're going to weigh in on Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette. We also will talk about the Joe Mixon incident. And is Tom Savage for real at quarterback for the Houston Texans?
Lots of topics to tackle. You can find the Move the Sticks podcast, NFL.com/podcast. You can find our videos, NFL.com/MTSvideo, as well as on YouTube.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
Three receivers far side, a four-man rush. Russell has some time to step up and let it fly. Got a man open, lock it down the near sideline. 10, 5, touchdown, Seahawks!
Gets the snap, backpedals, looks for Nelson. Winds up, rainbows, deep over the middle. Jordy,
yes!
Over the shoulder, Kent has it. Inside the 20, down he goes, near the 15-yard line.
Standing on the arrowhead at Arrowhead. Brinkley to snap, Kern to hold, snap, set, kick on the way, good!
Good! Oh boy, that almost hurt my ears there. Hi and hello, welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. Go get you some, put it in your belly. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, and me here in Studio 66. We'll say proper hellos in a minute. We saw a bunch of big celebrations and you know, listen, Zeke Elliott jumped into the Salvation Army thing, and it reminds me, this is a category coming up on the Shecky Awards, the 21st annual Shecky Awards. One category is best celebration we saw this year. Let's jump into this. Do we need to update our list here of celebrations that we saw just in week 15 of the NFL? And do we have a little reel to show here, Bartlett behind the glass?
Oh,
here we go. Here's Zeke. So he goes, he gets the touchdown. What did you make of this celebration, Maurice?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
peekaboo.
Yeah, that's what he's playing, peekaboo. Peekaboo, I see you.
Ike, you like that one?
I can dig it.
I like it a lot, too.
Very athletic.
Very.
Very athletic.
That's a big young man. Well, people don't understand.
Now, look at this, Ike. I wonder what you think about Jeremy Hill scoring a touchdown. Then somebody throws him a terrible towel, and he rips it. What did you think in the moment?
No, he tried to rip it. But RIP, Mr. Myron Cope, you know, he's in that towel.
Yoy and double yoy.
That towel wouldn't rip. Man, y'all going to start understanding, man. Y'all better stop disrespecting that terrible towel.
And
man.
Then there was Odell Beckham doing a little beat it dance.
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
OBJ is one of the best ever.
I agree. I love the Michael Jackson stuff.
I mean, he's done a bunch of Michael Jackson. He did the hurdles. You know, I still feel like Antonio Brown's front flip, though, still has to go to the greatest.
Yeah. I like
In a game. Yeah.
Not practice.
I thought a lot of cynics didn't care for the whole net bit.
But I get you what. Let me tell you something. Funny. All those cynics that didn't care, I bet you they're not tripping now.
No,
yeah, a lot of those cynics who announced about 6-8 weeks ago, no one sitting in this studio right now was on board with this, but there were a lot of national voices out there. Oh,
he's
Odell Beckham's a distraction, and they should trade him before it's too late. Now they may still wind up with if things break just right, they could even win that division.
Yep.
You know?
And could get a bye because of him.
Because of him.
Hey, next Tuesday, Chris. Two days after Christmas. By the way, happy holidays. I'm sorry.
As well,
I was remiss in not saying that at the top. Next Tuesday, December 27th, the 21st annual Shecky Awards will be available for you streaming on NFL.com/DDFP and /podcasts. So make sure you check that one out. Also, the nominees will include some more Odell Beckham, Marquette King. You know, setting a trailblazing punter with his dancing out there.
You got to be careful. Your guy, Pat McAfee, is going to be upset because he said he's the first one to start celebrating.
Wow. The thing that I think it's going to be tough to beat Vontaze Burfict running off the field, wagging his finger with 95 seconds to go. That was my favorite celebration.
Right.
Running off the field. Burfict ran off the field with Pac-Man and a bunch of other Bengals.
The whole crew.
In the divisional round. Hey, guys, the game's not over yet. Jeremy Hill's about to fumble it away.
The whole crew.
Petty. Look at Jeremy Hill right there gassing them up.
They're funny, the Bengals. They think they're everybody's rival. They think they're the Ravens and Steelers' rival. They're not. In fact, Cincinnati is the third best sports town in the state of Ohio behind Columbus and Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
That's where they stand. That's the reality. That's not good. All right, Maurice. The Jaguars haven't been good, I'm sorry to say, in 2016. A lot of high hopes. A lot of people in the summertime after those free agent signings and the way the draft broke for them. A lot of enthusiasm there. And I do think they have some good pieces there to build with. I don't know about the QB, but the blame fell on Gus Bradley earlier this week. Your thoughts?
Oh, very upset. Disappointed. I feel like when Gus first got there, they tore apart a team that had some very good core pieces. Just taking myself out of it, because obviously I don't want people to feel like, but Greg Jones, who is one of the best fullbacks in the game, I don't think they have a fullback on the team.
Isn't he coaching over there?
I think he's coaching now. They let go of Terrence Knighton, one of the best run stopping D tackles. You let go of Daryl Smith, and there's some other guys. Eugene Monroe. You talking about you need offensive linemen. Eugene Monroe is a very good blocking off left tackle. There was nothing wrong with him. And you try to replace these guys with guys who aren't playing well. Not only that, you have a quarterback who has more pick sixes than he has wins.
That is an insane stat.
That's crazy. How do you win with that?
Imagine that. He just got into the league. This is his third year.
And I've always told people, and I've firmly believed this, that after your third year, you are who you are. You get 3 years to prove how good you can be. And sometimes there's some guys who, oh, you know what, he makes the exception. But after your third year in the league, they pretty much have tape on you, enough tape to know that's who you're going to be throughout.
In the short term, at least, Gus Bradley gets the blame here. But is it, if you tried to put it in a list, is it Blake Bortles, the misread on him or his lack of progress at the most important position? Do you put it on the offensive line? Do you put it on Bradley? Do you put it on the personnel department with Dante Fowler? Because keep in mind,
there's
Dante
a lot of
Fowler,
misses.
Dante Fowler, to this point at least, was a miss, and so was Malik Jackson, a big signing.
Julius Thomas. There's a lot of guys. I think, again, Jacksonville was so hungry and had so much money that they went out and overpaid for some guys. And in this league, and I can tell you this is best, when you get paid a certain amount of money, there's a lot of expectation. And when you can't go to that, you don't have the production with that expectation, then you lose your locker room. And so I feel like, Julius Thomas was supposed to come in and give you 10 touchdowns a year. He didn't do that.
He may have given them 10 games over the last 2 years.
Maybe. Malik Jackson, you give him $90 million. He had 5 sacks a year before. So there's a lot of misses, but then there are some hits. You have Ramsey, who you got in the draft.
Yep.
You have Cindric Marks, who they got in free agency, who gives you 10 sacks almost a year. You have Roy Miller, who's played well. You have Telvin Smith, a top guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've gotten some guys. Gibson, you went and got some guys. You drafted Allen Robinson. You drafted all those receivers. You got Allen Hurns as a rookie free agent. So you've hit on some places, but when you miss on the quarterback who's number 3, who was the 3rd overall pick, when you miss on a defensive end who was, the 3rd or 4th overall pick, I mean, you're missing on guys, and it's hurting your team. So I feel like Gus, yes, he has to take some of the blame because you are the head coach of the team, but I think it's more than just Gus that should be involved in this. And personally, I feel like if you're going to fire him, you don't fire him with 2 games left. What does that do?
It is odd. Does it put him ahead of the other teams that are going to be knocking their head coaches off?
But you can still always go and – you already have – just because a coach is fired with 2 games left doesn't mean you can't go out and look for other coaches.
I guess that's true, especially if it's Tom Coughlin, John Gruden, a lot of the names that were
You can always call – I mean, let's think about it. Do the Chargers fire McCoy? Because remember, he was on the hot seat before. If they fire McCoy, it's not like as if they're not already out there looking for other coaches. You may not be able to interview him, but I don't think you can interview guys now anyways.
Who's your bet?
Tom Coughlin. I think that's
the way it winds up. And I think it's a nice story for a team that's been around since 1994 to complete that little circle. I think the fan base would dig that.
Oh, they love
it. This is going to be a fun coaching carousel in the offseason. Sean Payton might move. Rex Ryan
really?
Could be on
Sean
the move.
Payton?
Maybe. There's already talk the Saints might trade him. This is one of those things that comes up annually that they might trade.
But I know they've been trying to trade him for like 3 years, though.
Yeah, I know one thing. These teams need to stay off TV in the offseason because your championship teams, They don't have off-season shows.
It's so true.
They don't have off-season shows.
There was so much. I will say, I have to pat myself on the back for that one. Anytime that everybody gets all on board with one team that has achieved nothing, but everybody, oh, I like the way they're coming there. It's going to be a year away from what everybody
but,
said.
But what I have to disagree, because the Raiders were a team that everyone was on as well.
No, but they were good last year, the Raiders.
They were 7-9.
You could see them coming around there.
I thought, again, I mean, a lot of people, and this is what I tell, a lot of people thought that Blake Bortles, his numbers last year were phenomenal, but they were all second.
Catch-up numbers.
They were all catch-up numbers, and you have to put that into perspective. And it's sad to see Allen Robinson not play as well as he did last year, but he shows that he had catch-up numbers as well. So they have to find a way to get those numbers that matter.
Chuck, I think you said it best with Blake Bortles. He progression. Like, he hasn't progressed at all. It looks like he's regressing as a quarterback, which isn't good to be your third overall quarterback, supposed to be your face of the franchise. It hurts. Like, that's a big miss when you miss on the quarterback. We can talk about Kirk Cousins all we want to, but – I bet you if Kirk Cousins wanted to go to Jacksonville Jaguars, they would love to have
him. Remember, Kirk was a fourth-round pick. They missed on RG3.
By the way, I got a lot of grief from the people in Jacksonville in August when
so
I said –
So did I.
Yeah, when Blake Bortles – I said, Blake Bortles, the word I'm hearing is he's not progressing exactly with the playbook and every – oh, how dare you, how dare you. Well, I guess I was right.
Check. they jumped on me too. And I don't like to be the one to, like, gloat in your face, but I'm gloating.
All right. Let's start the show! Yes, hi and hello, and again, welcome to the DDFP, presented as always by McDonald's All Day Breakfast, especially today. I could really use one of those Egg McMuffins.
Why?
Well, because I went to a holiday party with some of our colleagues, one of the departments.
It was very fun
with the gang. We were out there. You both were missed there, but I had literally three wines, and then I Ubered myself home just to be extra safe. Three wines, that's too much. I wake up with a headache. I can't even have three wines anymore. Old age, man. It's terrible.
Do you know what kind of wine you had?
I don't. Okay. It might have been bad wine. I don't know. Whatever. Let's get into it here, fellas. And we'll start off with you know what? Let's just say hello to everybody. Ike Taylor, great work. We always say it on Total Access on Monday nights. Make sure you're paying attention this weekend from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Heinz Field. Mm. The scene, Christmas night. Ike Taylor, you're going to be on game day morning and otherwise.
Yes.
Reporting on the Pittsburgh Steelers and the other team.
Me and Aditi.
Oh.
We're going to be working together.
Aditi Kinkabwala. That's a match made in heaven. Here he is, everybody. Number 2-4 from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor. Ooh, the remix.
Oh, yeah.
Born in Gretna. It's in New Orleans.
Ike Taylor. Ike.
That's me.
I'm just going to cut to the chase. I'm just going to jump right to it. We can talk about the Bengals and all that stuff and whatever, but let's just give me your pick here. What's going to happen in Heinz Field? Let me know. Christmas night.
Oh, Pittsburgh Steelers. But it's not going to be the offense. We're going to see how good the defense plays. The defense is going to play better than the Ravens' defense.
All right. Listen. You know, it's Christmas, and I like it when the Steelers.
Shaq, no,
I don't want my night spoiled.
If it is, so
I feel like
you'll my
cry.
Year could be. 2016's
been. They lose.
Well, I won't cry, but 2016 has not been a good year. So, how better to punctuate a bad year than by the Ravens coming into Pittsburgh and getting flaccoed? I know they've done it. That's why I'm scared. Let me tell you something. I get messages from people all the time. Oh, you shouldn't be talking about that. You have a rooting interest. It makes you seem biased. Well, first of all, on the bias count, I am now two wins away. If the Steelers win these next two games, it will be 5 years in a row that I've correctly predicted their final record.
But
how biased is that if I'm getting it right?
But Shaq.
What?
You can predict in the off season.
Yeah.
But once the season comes around, it seems like you feel like they have a chance to lose
every game.
They go to Cleveland now. That'd just be like the Steelers to lose.
Lou Holtz did that before they played any bum team. Of course, I just am showing some respect. I'm getting in their head, Maurice.
No, Shaq,
they're not worried about
that's
you,
a new. That's gonna be in the Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
checking.
Yeah. John Harbaugh isn't listening to what I'm saying this week. Please, come on, Ike. Wake up, man. Don't be naive. Of course, John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco, Terrell Suggs are tuning in, and they hear what I'm saying.
Even if they do, it doesn't matter. Shaq, like, if they lose, they lose. It doesn't matter what we say here. One thing I've learned. That's the one thing I've learned at this network. We can say whatever we want about the teams, like, oh, they have this matchup or that matchup. There was no way Carolina was supposed to beat the Washington Redskins on Monday night. In Washington, there's no way. But guess what?
Well, guess what? If, like we were talking about a few weeks ago, if Cam and company would have held on in Oakland, that may be a scary – imagine them being a six seed. The defending NFC champs coming in as a six seed, that'd make the NFC playoff picture all the more intriguing, and it's already pretty good stuff. Let's say hello to the guy who we're talking about here with the Jags and the Raiders and the Rams. You hear him doing the radio play-by-play in Los Angeles, 710 ESPN is how you check that out. Fantasy and Friends, Fashion Po-Po, No Disrespect, so on and so forth. The great Maurice Jones-Drew, everybody.
I'm trying to be like you, Ike.
No. I'm just on two things.
No. That's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguar. Addicted to the end zone. Now he's on with Damashek. Yeah, that's his new home. So call him Maurice. We all call him
MJD. MJD.
Check how to play this on the show yesterday.
On Fantasy and Friends. Yeah, it was good. Hilarious. It jazzed things up quite a bit, I thought.
Everybody starts smiling.
Hey, Maurice, you don't care about the Star Wars movies, do you?
I'm not a big fan. You know, I actually just went and bought all the Game of Thrones books.
Ooh.
So I'm going to have some good reading material here.
That's where Maurice and I connect. That's our passion. But, Ike, you and I share the passion of Star Wars. You haven't seen Rogue One yet, though.
No, my son, actually, he's going to see it today. I haven't seen it. I need to see it. I'll probably see it when I get back to Orlando.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home. And I'm going to get all the DVDs. How many of them? How many is it up?
Well, I would skip the first three, right? You could skip episodes 1, 2, and 3. They're just crummy and made for children. So just pretend those don't exist. But this Rogue One, but it fits. All I can tell you is it fits like a neat little puzzle piece, and it gets back to the roots of the original Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. It has that vibe to it. It doesn't feel too shiny.
Who's the pioneer of Star Wars?
What do you mean?
Who started it?
George Lucas.
I tell you what, the way he got it set up, he can go anywhere he wants to with any story.
I think he sold it to Disney, so I think Disney now owns it. But either way, I think they're planning on making a movie every year around the Star Wars universe. I think the next one is like young Han Solo, maybe. But either way, this Rogue One, I'm telling
you, it's legit.
Let me just say this to you. This is a bold statement, and I know old Star Wars people may not like this. It's the third best one in the history of the Star Wars movie.
They're building a movie.
Better than
Jedi.
How
many do they have?
Well, they have. So they have the three. Now they have Rogue One's four. Then the original says seven, eight. Eight total.
I'm going to watch all eight, and I'm going
to
catch up.
All right. I don't think you need to watch those first three, but hey, I'm just trying to spare you. Football baby, we're coming down to the end of the season. Ryan Bartlett, producer behind the glass, had a great idea before the season started. Football baby, a flat Stanley for the 21st century. Go to @Damashek on Twitter. You can find the PDF of Football Baby. Just hold them up with your cell phone at whatever stadium you are watching the game, or print it out. Either way, he really has gone global. He was at the World Dart Championships in London.
That's cool.
This week. He was in Perth, Australia for a football match. He was in Brazil.
Sao Paulo.
Singapore. He has to get back. Oh, he was also in Seattle for the hideous neon game.
I got to talk to Football Baby, see if he can bring me back a gift.
Well, yeah, that would be nice if he would. Yes, listen, we have not seen as many NFL football stadiums of late. Let's make sure we get him a stamp on his passport from all 32 of those before the season runs out. All right, let's jump into it. Bartlett behind the glass, you don't want us to talk Christmas memories? You don't care about our Christmas memories?
No, let's get to football.
You want to talk about football, Ike? I thought it would be nice to talk about our favorite times around the Christmas tree.
I think the viewers want to.
The Hanukkah menorah?
They want Football Baby.
All right. Well, we're not going to do Football Baby. We're going to do Football Ike and Football Maurice right now. Okay. You know what? You guys want to do it? Let's get to it. Thrill of victory, agony of defeat.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
If you're a viewer, It's always fun seeing Ike Taylor with that 10-foot pole, the literal 10-foot pole. We broke
It's not actually 10 feet, but it's close.
It's close.
Don't be a cynic, Murphy. It's fun when we break out the 10-foot
pole. Literally 10-foot pole.
Well, people like the figurative. Like, oh, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but we have the literal 10-foot pole. And
it's like
we make important football
decisions. It's like 8-11.
That's not what's important. You're getting caught up.
You're right.
That's my fault. That's my fault.
All right. Best wins. We'll start there. And the best wins, Colts whipped the Vikings. So that keeps them alive. The Texans, an important one for them as well. Had they dropped that one against the Jags, I don't know even who would
would jump up over Tennessee. Mm. So Tennessee needs the Colts to lose and the Texans, and they have to win out.
The Falcons, laying wood to the sorry Niners. But again, like we talked about a week ago, it's funny. I feel like the three of us were a little ahead of that national conversation. All of a sudden now, in the last couple of days, I've been hearing like, hey, are we all sleeping on the Falcons? Not us, as of a week ago, because we talked about it a week ago.
Listen, they got to play Carolina, so we're going to see who's sleeping. Yeah. But I have to go with a team that you don't like to talk about. But the Ravens to beat the Eagles, and they should have lost. I mean, if I'm the Eagles, I kick a field goal, we go into OT, we see what happens. But for the Eagles to go for two and get the ball batted down, I mean, that game there literally makes this next week the
That's exactly
game
right.
Possible.
I'll tell you what, NFL Network, I'm sure, was rooting for the Ravens to win that one because it would be a two-game gap right now. Pittsburgh would not need it necessarily, or they wouldn't need it to hold on in the AFC North there. Now we have a colossal episode upcoming on Christmas night. As we discussed there, the thing with the Eagles, this is something we've talked about, but I'll say it again. I don't know what Doug Peterson and company think of Carson Wentz, but if you believe in your QB, when you're at the two, you have to make 2 yards on one play. I always say go for that 2 point instead of kicking the extra point, as you say, to get the overtime, because then you have to win the coin flip. But if you don't win the coin flip, you better not let them score a touchdown. But if you don't let them score a touchdown, then your team needs to kick a field goal before they kick a field. It's too much. The math is just cleaner. Go for the – if you believe your quarterback is the best player on the field, then let him do it and make the 2 yards and win the game.
But the toughest thing in football is to get 2 yards when you need it. The toughest thing. Third and – how many people are successful on fourth and two in the middle of the field? Not many. Right, and in that situation, you don't have enough room to work. So I get what they're trying to do. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to line up in person at goal line personnel.
That's right.
And I'm going to run play action fat pass weak and throw it to the flat. It's always
how many times have I said that? Finally, you're listening. You run some play action into the line, then you boot the QB. It always
you don't even
always
have to
works.
Boot the QB. Literally, you could just put it in his belly and have a guy.
I like
to
it
flat.
Better though, because then there's no chance of a batted ball. I like you rolling your QB a little bit so it's cleaner for him. Just get that guy. Out on them, just dump it out, or he runs it in. That's it. That's also why I like that, right? Unless it's Phil Rivers or Tom Brady. You get the guy out there, he might run it in if no defender steps up.
Yeah.
I don't think Phil Rivers running that thing in.
No, indeed.
Phil Rivers.
I could beat Phil Rivers in a foot race.
You might got a shot.
Phil Rivers looks like it hurts.
Ike, what was your favorite win of the week?
Who I had is my favorite win of the week. Oh, man, I'm going to go with the Texans.
Yeah, that was – I mean, again, now this is maybe a switch for them that will impact the AFC playoff picture. Maybe they get there. Maybe they make some hay once they're there, whereas I don't know that Brock Osweiler was going to win some games for him in January. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to expect from Tom Savage. Although, the one thing –
he made some really good throws in this game.
Well, he's got that arm, and you could see that back at Pitt. You know, when he throw the ball, he looks like a pro QB.
Right.
And he was remember there was that late push for him in the draft a couple of years ago. All of a sudden, people were buzzing about that maybe he was worth something, and then he became a punchline buried at the end of the bench there. But, at the very least, he got Nuke Hopkins involved, which, for whatever reason, Brock Osweiler couldn't do all season. The worst losses of the week or worst loss, our producer Ryan Bartlett has written some words that I can't repeat here, but I will suffice to say it's the Chiefs. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to read the whole thing he wrote.
Oh, no. Well, that's what happens. The Chiefs, exotic smash mouth. And when it gets cold, that's when they do their best work.
You did say that.
Just what happens. And, Derrick Henry's getting involved now. I definitely think that's a bad one. But you have to go with Arizona. I mean, Arizona was known for having a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose to a team who hasn't thrown a touchdown in 2 weeks. Drew Brees hasn't thrown a touchdown in 2 weeks, and he puts up 48.
Well, you know, as far as that goes, I guess you could – we say best win for Colts, but really that could be worst loss for the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
By the same thing. Remember, everybody was buzzing about how great that defense is. No one can do anything against that defense. And, you know, Andrew Luck, without T.Y. Hilton out there – I mean, without – I'm sorry, without Dante Moncrief out there, he put it on that team.
I just don't –
What happens? What happens to the Cardinals and Vikings? How do they get whipped like that?
We talk about a team that had a off-season show. That's another team with an off-season
Cardinals.
Show.
Yeah.
Right? So our expectations was high. And no disrespect to the Rams, but they had an off-season show too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Expectations was kind of high. Didn't fall out that way. So what I'm saying, man, your good teams, your playoff teams, man, they're not worrying about no ratings. You know, this ain't recruiting.
No.
This ain't college. We're not trying to get recruits. These grown men. We have bills to pay. And my only thing with that, when you bring a lot of other stuff involved, it hurts at home. Because now you have wives, they want to be on TV.
Oh,
you have moms, they want to be on TV. So it brings a lot of extra stress, not only on that household, but to the player. Because when I go home, I'm trying to go home and go to sleep, watch tape, and relax.
I'm not against anybody making money and doing
not,
what they want to do as a pro. But, I mean, I would just as soon, as a Steeler fan, but a fan of any, I'd just as soon any not do Dancing with the Stars and that kind of stuff. I just feel like that can only be.
I don't think it's that. I think more than anything, like, I think it's an organizational situation. Like, it's not like per player, because a lot of players can go out and do things.
Yeah.
When you have an organization, when you have people that are, you know, like, let's say when you're on Hard Knocks, you can't say some of the stuff you want to say because the world is watching. You're on camera 24/7. It's like the Truman Show, right? You remember that show?
Sure.
And so I think that, like, that kind of hurts a ton. But for the Cardinals, I mean, what? Like, there's no reason for you to be losing like this. You guys were really good last year, and you only added pieces.
How
do you lose?
Well, this is simplistic, but Carson Palmer had a great 2015, then fizzled out right at the end and really actually blew up in front of our eyes in late December, early January, and that just sort of carried over this year. That leads me to most embarrassing win, which I'll put that on the Saints, because what was so as they're whipping that 40, the Saints put 48 on them,
yeah.
And yet Mark Ingram in the fourth quarter is belly aching about not getting the ball. What did you make of that, Ike?
You're playing with my money.
Say it again.
You playing with my money.
What is
How
this?
How so? Because that $100,000.
What is
thing,
this?
You playing? So they put Hightower. They put Hightower in for Ingram. Now Ingram got him down there, and supposedly he has some incentives in his contract. So he get that touchdown. He got that $100 coming. So now you're taking that $100.
I think that's been debunked, though.
No,
might not be a touchdown.
They do it on percentages, too. Like, sometimes in people contract where you play a certain percentage of snaps, let's say, like, if you play 6 to 8% of the defensive snaps, you get a $500,000 bonus.
Hmm.
They know that. They upstairs. So if you on 68, oh, you inactive.
But that sounds like an evil tycoon move. They really do that. They do it in movies. They do that in real life.
That's the business part of the NFL, bro.
I can tell you right now, I remember we were playing Tennessee and we were whooping them, and they benched me. And I was – they didn't really bench me. They're just like, look, like, do you have any incentives? I'm like, I got some big cash in this contract, man. I got – you know, I make the Pro Bowl. I do these things. I'm making $250,000. Easy. If I'm up for MVP – 250. If I'm just up for MVP, you're at 250.
My name mentioned.
This just has to be in the race.
Right? Wow.
In the race. And so you heard me. That counts. That goes a long way down the road. I got kids.
Yeah.
I got a mother and a sister that I'm taking care of as well. I need all of them.
I get the touchdown just that you want that as a stat, whether or not there's a bonus tied to your contract. But, well, because I asked Steve Smith this a number of years ago, and I found it illuminating. It was a typical sort of, I guess I was naive. I said, it doesn't really matter, Steve Smith, if it's Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams gets that touchdown at the goal line, or Cam Newton a few years ago in Carolina, right? He's like, yeah, it matters, because when your contract comes back up, they're definitely going to look at how many touchdowns you scored.
Yeah.
And he's exactly right.
That's
right.
That's another thing. Mark Ingram's young.
Yeah.
He's coming up on the end of his deal. You're talking about, well, you know, this season you only had 900 yards and 8 touchdowns. Well, that play could be 9 or 10.
Hey, listen. 10 sounds better than 9.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's that simple. Touchdown. Right, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's that simple that he could be up. They could be negotiating a contract right now, and that could be part of it.
I believe, the stable franchises and Maurice, it's time for you to go do some of your work elsewhere. He's a very busy man, Ike. But as Maurice takes off, yeah, I mean, I think I do buy that, I like the stable franchise model, obviously, the Giants, the Steelers, certain teams just never fire their coaches, or they're loath to do it at least.
The Steelers do it. The Giants do it.
Everybody do it.
The Patriots do
everybody
it.
Everybody do it.
All teams do
well, but
the
I do
Packers
think
– do it.
I buy that things can get stale in certain – it feels to me like, all right, maybe Sean Payton would do well to move on for his sake, and the Saints could maybe
move on. I first saw it in 2005. We had a guy, he was hitting his percentages. He was balling. And they tapped him on the shoulder. You got to sit for the next 4 games. What I did? Nothing. But you got to sit.
Oh.
Let me go back to my contract. Oh, man. 68%, I get $500,000. I'm at 67. No, I'm at 66. That's how y'all going to do me?
I'll give
we
you
would
one
like
worse.
To see. We would like to see our young guy.
I'll do you one worse. We're playing in Jacksonville. We're playing.
I think I know who he's talking.
No. This is a different one.
No, I know. Mike's talking.
But we had a guy, and he had if he started so many games, he got $1 million. They didn't start him. They just put him in on the second play.
That's outrageous. I didn't know that this was so widespread.
Bruh, that's
it. Really is like the mean rich guy in the movies.
That's the business side of the NFL.
That the guy, the mean dad in Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, who wanted to knock down the community center to erect condos, has nothing on these guys.
Nothing at all.
Depriving you guys.
It's a cutthroat business, man.
Apparently. Also, I think the most embarrassing loss, as I already touched on, the Bengals would love to be a rival of the actual AFC North bullies, the Ravens and Steelers. They love to talk their trash. They love to do stuff after the whistles. They love to act like tough guys, and yet it doesn't seem to register to them that they don't achieve anything. You have to win games of importance against these foes in order for it to be a rivalry. Just talking stuff doesn't do it, right?
It's like looking over the shoulder like, bro, what you looking at? Oh, I'm not looking at the Bengals. I'm looking at the Ravens. Y'all don't think we're a rivalry? No, we don't think.
That's exactly right. We just
– the Ravens in 2 weeks? Okay. But we play the Bengals, though, right? All right, we got the Bengals. All right, we're going to get ready for the Ravens. I don't know why the Cincinnati Bengals are thinking they're a rivalry. Far from a rivalry. Now, having a few tough guys on the team, they do have a few tough guys on the team. I can respect that. But far as this being a rivalry, shouldn't even come close.
I mean, Pac-Man Jones, I've never seen it in football. He got a taunting penalty after Le'Veon Bell just ran for 11 yards and a first down against him. Wait, the other team just had a successful play against your team, and you're taunting the other team? I don't think that makes sense, Pac-Man. I don't think you got this thing straight in your brain.
They still feel some kind of way.
Well, they should.
Which hurt them again. They was up 17-3. Burfict get another personal foul, and after that personal foul, that kind of kickstarted the whole game.
Oh, and don't mess with the terrible towel, Jerry
Please
Hill.
Don't
that's
mess
your
with
mistake.
The terrible
I mean,
towel.
Listen, you want to keep doing it. Oh, it's a big joke. You're being silly now when you talk about the curse of Myron Cope and the terrible towel. All right, well, then go ask T.J. Houshmandzadd and the Tennessee Titans.
Lindell White.
Go ask everybody. All right, then just keep messing with it. That's all right. Yeah. Go ahead. Let's hope Joe Flacco makes some funny jokes on Saturday night with the terrible towel.
It's crazy. These guys have never disrespected the terrible towel, and they won a few Super Bowls, and we kind of play the same as far as, like, blueprint, the Ravens.
Yeah, that's right. I know you respect that. At least they have won some big games against the Steelers. Now, what Burfict? He goes up to Roethlisberger, 2-time Super Bowl champ. Vontaze Burfict, everybody knows, including Vontaze Burfict, he knows the league's watching him extra carefully. What would he go up and headbutt Ben Roethlisberger? What's he say to him? What does Vontaze Burfict have to say to Ben Roethlisberger at this point?
Well, it really wasn't a headbutt.
What's he say, though? What's he say?
Well, he's saying nothing, really. See, look, that ain't really no headbutt. That's just like a come one in a little shoulder, like one in a shoulder. Leave me alone.
He just knew you wouldn't. I knew you would not.
Because that's not a headbutt.
I know, but I knew you would have some weird kind of. I know you like that tough stuff.
I do. You know what I think it was? He just wanted to feel his presence. He just did it in a way he couldn't do it. That's just like telling a girl you like her, but you don't want to tell her that you like her. You really don't want to tell her that you like her. So you try to be tough and stuff sometimes. But, man, when she don't pick up that call, you're like, dang, why you ain't picking up my call?
Does he, though, as objective as you can be about it, because I do think you and Maurice both talk about, hey, you got to have some dogs on your team if you want to succeed. You got it. You got to have some guys that play along the edge there and maybe cross the line a little bit here and there. Does Vontaze Burfict go too far?
Yes, he does.
He does, right?
Yeah, Burfict goes too far. Now, as far as like having him on my team, yeah. Putting a leash on him, for sure. Burfict got to understand that, man, you're hurting the team. The two penalties y'all had in the playoffs hurt the team. And we talked about this after that playoff game. Like, you don't know if it's guaranteed that y'all going to go back the following year. Y'all not even making the playoffs the following year. Y'all had an opportunity to really put Pittsburgh in the hole in that 17-3 situation. You get another personal foul by headbutting Ben. Now, that kickstart the Pittsburgh Steelers because they wasn't playing good at the time. Now, they start to play good. Like, man, you can't be making – bonehead decisions like that. Not only does it hurt you, it hurts the team, but people get fired when you lose.
I mean,
a lot of people get fired. The equipment man, the intern, maybe the intern might want to come back the following year. They clean house when you get fired. And as a player, you don't even want that on your resume because then you messing with your money. As good as you is as a football player, because he's having one of the best seasons of his career this year. But it's always that heavy bell that you're going to have dealing with that. Like, I want to pay this guy, but it's going to forever be a but. So I look at it like, why you want to mess with your money?
It's, you know, you talk about, I always say Marv Lewis has never won a playoff game. How long can he keep this gig? His inability to control them and that those guys, his best players. I mean, Vontaze Burfict is undeniably dominant out there.
Right.
Pac-Man's an important player as well, but all the histrionics and nonsense and the extra flags and everything, I wouldn't be surprised if it cost Marv his job this year.
And I hate to say that, but that would be one of the reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, Coach Marv, you got some heck of a players, no control.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I agree
no control
that.
As much of a dog as Burfict is, and honestly, Pac-Man Jones has probably been playing better than most corners in the league. Well, I have Pac-Man as top five corner in my NFL poll power ranking because he really be shutting people down. He has that little man syndrome. Like, he always has a chip on his shoulder. He feel like he have something to prove, and he's been proving week in and week out that he can handle his business. Now, as far as, like, bonehead decisions and talking to the media crazy, guys got to understand, man, they give us something to talk about. So the more you act crazy, the more we get to sit down and talk about it. But at the same time, if you can just keep a clean cut, man, you can have a lot of opportunities. They didn't hire me over here because I caught footballs. They hired me over here because I won two Super Bowls and they saw something I didn't see in myself or like personality. And you helped out in that. So when you just be a good, not even a role model, just a good football player, a respectable football player. Don't get it twisted. I played dirty. Dirty mean like in between the lines, it was whatever. However you want to do it. There was no finesse with me. It was all aggressive. Aggression. I'm pissed off at the world. That's how I play. You can still play like that and still be respectable.
I agree with that. And but the final point for today is with me, I like to insinuate myself in that. What would I do in that situation? I would be terrified, and I bet you there are a lot of guys in the NFL that kind of would fit that. Teams that play in domes, I always think are softer. Yeah, that Bengals stuff. Like, yeah, I do think you can't. You, Ike, I'm sure Vontaze Burfict, Pac-Man Jones. You talk, you play across the line, you get guys off their game. You give them a little something extra. Now they're looking for it after every play. They're nervous. But that's not going to work on the Ravens and Steelers. So stop doing that. Know what division you're in. Know who you're playing against. That's the, that to me is the message. Like, good. Go ahead and do that to the Colts. That might throw them off their game, but that's not going to work with the division bullies. Right. So, you know, that to me is the practical message to the Bengals. It's not working. You're not getting in Roethlisberger's head. So just we may as well not bother with it.
The Bengals just got to understand it's not a rivalry between
right.
the two teams.
That's exactly right. All right, they're telling me we got to wrap. Make sure you check out Ike Taylor on game day morning on Sunday, as well as on the Dave Dameshek football program on Thursday, because we're going to dig in a little bit on some best memories from the Steelers and Ravens. Ike was a part of a lot of those special games. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans, and thanks to Maurice and MVP and Ryan Bartlett and the professor,
the whole
Blair,
crew,
and everybody behind the glass. As usual, I can't see who's sitting behind the professor. Steve, thin slice of heaven, everybody.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.